Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Family members tell ABC News that they've been informed that former Uvalde School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo and former officer Adrian Gonzalez have been indicted by a grand jury for the 2022 mass shooting at Robb Elementary. A fourth day of long lines for bottled water and sandbags in Las Vegas, New Mexico. Flooding overwhelmed the city's water treatment system. In line?
Water, we can always go by water, which I think is not bad, but the sandbags to come across or to get sand or bags, I think it'd be harder. So I'm willing to wait the 6-8 hours, whatever it takes today.
Officials are asking people to use less H2O as more is forecast to fall from the sky. The Supreme Court rejected a nationwide settlement with OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma that would have shielded members of the Sackler family who own the company from civil lawsuits. Bronny James, oldest son of the great NBA player, has been drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers, with whom his dad still plays. This is ABC News. Mortgage rates have eased again this week. Freddie Mac puts the 30-year average at 6.86%, down from 6.87%. It's the fourth straight weekly drop. Private company has an idea to help with traffic congestion.
Uber is planning to give $1,000 to people who volunteer to give up their cars for 5 weeks. The money is intended to be used for ride shares, but also public transit, car rental, and scooter and bike share programs. Uber says it's intended to highlight the high cost of car ownership and the effect that cars can have on public health and the environment in urban areas. Many studies have shown that ride-hailing companies like Uber have contributed to more congestion in cities. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Maryland is creating a workforce development program that'll help people once convicted of marijuana-related offenses land jobs in the state's legal cannabis industry. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News, your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another attempt to recall State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss comes up short. The Wisconsin Elections Commission ruled Thursday the recall petitioners failed to turn in enough valid signatures. Three Republican commissioners and one Democrat voted that hundreds of signatures were gathered after the deadline. Outreach specialists are trying to recruit the next generation of Hmong farmers in Wisconsin. Many Hmong farmers are getting close to retirement age, and their grown children have different ideas about farming.
Older Hmong farmers, farming is therapeutic for them. They're making a little bit of money, but also farming and gardening makes them happy. The difference is that these younger farmers, they want farming to be financially sustainable.
Yaimo Yang is with the Groundswell Conservancy. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks add another guard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. First round of the NBA draft last night, and with the 23rd pick, the Bucks selected A.J. Johnson, a 6'5" guard out of California who's just 19 years old. I asked Bucks GM John Horst if this is just another prospect to add to the roster.
When you get in that part of the draft, the assessment we had to make is here's a handful of guys that are win now. Here's a handful of guys that maybe have a higher development curve or a longer runway. I think he's a combination of both.
Baseball, the Brewers' Andrew Monasterio comes through with an RBI single to win the game 6-5 over the Rangers yesterday. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Of course, we're happy for the team, but so happy for Mona. He's working every day. He's always got a smile. He's in a great, has a great attitude every day, so the team pulls for him.
Former Packers receiver Randall Cobb and his family narrowly escaping their Nashville home at night after a fire started in their garage, believed to be ignited by an electric charger to their Tesla. Cobb saying they're lucky to be alive. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely overnight. Lows around 61, a breezy southeast wind up to 25 miles per hour. Winds gust to 30 on your Friday, highs around 72 with a chance of showers and storms. More showers and storms on Friday night.
Currently 69 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Marquette pollster Charles Franklin. Let's talk about the dead heat here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. I don't dream that ever. Conrad, let's never use that one again, please. Just awful. Sometimes you just say something over and over, and it's like I get tired of the sound of my own voice, or I don't ever want to hear myself saying a specific thing again, and that is one of them.
Hey, you made the joke. I'm just playing.
Listen, it served its purpose. I'm just ready to move on. That's all I'm saying. Hope everyone's doing well tonight. Welcome to Nightlight, wherever you are joining us from on this wonderful Thursday night in the state of Wisconsin. Welcome, welcome. It is a great night to be on statewide and broadcast from downtown Green Bay here at City Deck Landing and our WGBW studios. So much fun. Got a great show for you guys tonight. We might lose part of you, I understand, the debate. Right, Conrad? Is that...
Yeah, once it's 8 o'clock, you're going to lose some people to the debate.
I guess the people at the network feel it's more special to broadcast future presidential candidates, but I can't change that. So what are we going to do? That was a joke, Conrad.
Am I supposed to laugh?
Not if you don't think it's funny. You know what? You can just go take a powder, pal, for all I care. No, the debate does start at 8 o'clock. It will still be on anyway if you want to tune in on the stream, or the podcast will be there later if you do choose to listen to the debate here at Civic Media. We have great coverage. And we have a great show, so we hope you stay with us the whole time. But obviously you have that choice. My guest at 7:35 is Greg Schwemm, a syndicated columnist and an old stand-up comedy buddy. Very funny guy and a very successful columnist now for Tribune Content. And he has his site, The Humor Hotel, within Tribune, which is great. Greg does great work. And I read several of his articles over the last few days. And very relatable stuff. That's what I love about what Greg writes. It's stuff we can relate to. He has these beefs with things that I absolutely have been there. So very relatable reads. If you haven't checked out Greg's stuff, please do so. It's just fun to read, and it'll give you a chuckle. It's TribuneContentAgency.com, and Greg is publishes a column called The Humor Hotel. Great stuff. He'll be here at 7:35. We'll have some laughs, talk about his articles and all kinds of stuff. We'll talk about the Rolling Stones. We'll talk about oldies. We'll talk about presidential debate gaffes and how our presidential candidates are supposed to be perfect. We don't expect them ever to make mistakes, even though they are quite, both of them are older. And, you know, even now, I can't think of what I'm going to say half the time. It's crazy. Or if they trip, oh, he's getting old. Or anyway, Greg addresses all this in his most recent article, and it's a really good read. It's called Stumbling My Way Off to the Presidential Ballot. So check that out before Greg is here, if you like. And then at 8:35, we have a guest who I just met yesterday on the phone, and she's wonderful. Carolyn Nelson Cavias will be here. She is the event coordinator for the 4th of July parade in Superior, Wisconsin, and she orchestrated the whole parade. It's a big deal up there, and Carolyn will be here to tell us what is going on in that pocket of Wisconsin over the 4th. We're trying to reach out to various parts of the state and find out what the 4th of July means to you or what's going on there. How do you celebrate it? I know there's festivals all over Wisconsin in the summer, but as we get closer to the 4th of July next week, who did we talk to last? Oh, the Outagamie County Fair opened yesterday, and we have some other people on the slate for next week too. So wherever you are in Wisconsin, feel free to reach out and share how you're going to celebrate the 4th of July as well. I think we do a pretty good job here in Wisconsin. What do you think, Conrad? You like the, is it satisfactory how Wisconsin recognizes the 4th?
Yeah, I mean, any town you go to, there's a parade there.
Yeah.
So you can always have fun at a parade.
How do you have fun at a parade?
It used to be getting the candy.
Yeah. Now that just looks crazy if you do that.
Me running out there.
Body slamming kids out of the way.
I need the Tootsie.
You don't need that. That's bad for you. Yeah, I think I used to go to parades, and I got to tell you, I'm not as 4th of July. Like, I love the 4th of July. I love what it represents. I love that people come together. It's a holiday. I love all that. I don't need to see fireworks, I don't think, ever again. I've seen them. I've been going for decades, and they're great. But the only way I would go to fireworks now is if I knew I had a great seat and there were no mosquitoes. I'm trying to make something out of nothing. I'll go to the fireworks. It's fine if they're close. I'm not going to travel and park and carry my lawn chairs. That I won't do, but I do love fireworks. How does that sound?
I mean, that's a hard task. No mosquitoes and you get a front row seat. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't need a front row seat. I just need not to be surrounded by tons of humanity.
You know, honestly, when I would do fireworks in Kewaskum, I just like being on the back, you know, porch. Having a chair out there, watching it from there.
That's the way to do it. And you had a good view from there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the way to do it. If you live somewhere where you can watch fireworks from your front porch. I remember in Marinette, whenever we would visit, we would go there and we'd have to lug the kids, lawn chairs, oftentimes a cooler. And it was just, it's so much work. And then the fireworks are fun. And you do it, like, if the kids love it, it's worth it. But I remember by, like, the age of 42, when my daughter was probably maybe, I don't know. Both kids were young. Fireworks are fine. But I don't know. It just gets, I'm at that point now. If they're on and if they're happening and I can see from the porch, I'm in. I love it. Wow. That was a rant about fireworks. I made fireworks the bad guy. I am about to, I'll tell you this, this afternoon was filled with drama. I got here a little later than I usually do lately, and it's because we had, my son came in today, and he said, Dad, there's something dead in one of the garbage cans. There's nothing about that sentence that is going to improve your day. And he's right. Rainwater got into an old garbage can we don't even use anymore by a shed, and what happened was, he kicked it over to empty the can and like 4 dead squirrels fell out. Are you grossed out yet, Conrad?
Actually, something similar happened to me in Milwaukee. So I'm not that grossed out.
This is getting worse. All right. This is how settle in. Pack a lunch. Here we go. All right. They were skinned. They had no skin and they were decayed and waterlogged. Okay. I didn't even know what they were.
Now it's making it's
worse. And some of them were just guts. And then it got tangled up in the grass. This is going to cost me hundreds of dollars. Like, I went out there with a shovel, and I tossed one into the woods. And then when I went back, the smell was so bad. I was dry heaving for 2 minutes. And I just said, I'm not doing this. I couldn't pick it out of the grass. And, you know, I didn't have the tools to do that. So that was like 2 hours of my afternoon just complaining while I made phone calls.
I mean, yeah, I'd be complaining too.
It was awful.
I had a raccoon that fell into my garbage trying to find some food, and none of us saw it. I lived with 7 roommates then.
And is
eventually,
it Milwaukee?
Yeah, eventually we did find it, and it was dead at that point when we found it.
That is
because the smell was not great.
That's what did it. Honestly, it was and I was a garbage man for a summer in college. I've smelled bad meat, bad milk. This was, and you know what? Just talking about it. Do you have a dry heave sound effect? Let's find that during the break. It was awful. And and part of me feels emasculated because I just want to take a shovel. Like I called animal control and Marinette and they're like, well, here's what I would do if I were you. I'd get a shovel and dig a hole and bury him. Like, first of all, I don't have 2 hours. Second of all, the smell was so bad, I would not have gotten through that. And third of all, I thought this was animal control. Like, I thought they came and took away dead animals, but I guess they only deal with live animals. Does that sound right?
I don't know.
See, you're a renter. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah. I miss being a renter for these kind of things. It was absolutely terrible.
You know, actually, I love renting. So I had a problem with my laundry machine yesterday. Might have been my fault because I didn't know where the lint thing was.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't find it, so it wasn't cleaned out, I would say, for about 2 months.
This is in your apartment?
Yeah, so I'm about to go to the gym. I put my laundry into the dryer. All of a sudden, I start smelling smoke. I'm like, did I leave the oven on or something?
Did I put a match in the dryer?
I go into there, and I stopped it. My clothes completely smell like smoke.
So
I went and I went to the office and I said, yeah, my dryer's got a problem. Oh no. They came in not 4 hours later.
Why are you saying that? Like, that's a fast response.
4 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, they're okay. Like, cause she said, they'll be, I don't know, within the next 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They were there, right?
But they're on site.
Well, they have three different apartment complexes. And I'm on the one that's the farthest away.
See, the threat of fire will get them to your place first.
Yeah.
That you should have played that card.
And then,
well, okay, I'll just be up here doing my laundry.
Well, they came in and they go, yep, what I expected. They clean out my lint. I'm like, I feel so dumb.
But you know what? I mean, part of it is, yeah, you probably should have known that.
I didn't know where the lint thing was.
So what did you think was happening? It was just like disappearing?
I don't know.
This is one of those no lint dryers. You know what I mean? Like, what?
Where's the lint going? I should have thought.
Yeah. But part of the time, you just don't want to think about it. You're like, yeah. No, I'm sure it's fine.
You know? Yeah. I'm sure it's fine. My dryer's smoking right now.
Oh, that's bad. I had a landlord like that once. Everything you did, it was your fault. Hey, Bob, my faucet's broken. Did you use it? Yeah. Oh, see, that's the problem. Oh, okay. Hey, is something wrong with my toilet. Did you flush it? Yeah. Yeah, don't do that. That's going to mess it up. Okay. Love those guys. It's always you. Hey, great to have you with me on this Thursday night. We're going to have some fun. Greg Schwemm is here at 7:35. We're going to talk about his articles and some of the things he writes about, like oldies, the Rolling Stones, and presidential debates and cheese. Greg had a great article about cheese. We'll listen to that, or we'll talk about that as well. And coming up next, I'm going to talk about the show 1923 for a couple minutes because I really liked that. I'm also going to say why I hate Criminal Minds and an anger incident I witnessed today. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state. And it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade. And if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Sherry checking in from the 920 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Sherry. How are you? Great to have you with us. And then Chris Elfheim texted in 715. Conrad, is that 4 exclamation points?
That's when you know it's serious.
I think
serious.
That's 4. She means business. Could have burnt the house down.
Yes. It was a good thing I didn't leave for the gym without smelling that.
Other, that was the equivalency of a talking to through the text line that you just got, and well-deserved from Chris Elfheim. Thanks for listening, Chris. All right, our question tonight, by the way, folks, we don't really have a question. It's what to watch Thursday. The weekend is coming up. What are you guys going to watch? There's some big movies coming out this weekend. Quiet Place Day One opens, reviewing very well, despite no Emily Blunt or John Krasinski involvement. It's gotten very good reviews, and it is not expected to overtake Inside Out 2 at the box office. And this is Inside Out 2's third week. It will be the fastest film to $1 billion in history. Fastest animated film. Your other options are Horizon, which is Kevin Costner's Civil War era drama. The actual technical term, the full term, is Kevin Costner's Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1. I mean, just from the title alone, does that just make you want to take a nap? That is the most dull-sounding title. And I know he's had his issues with Yellowstone, and I liked Yellowstone for like 5 episodes, and then I absolutely hated it. I thought it was drivel. I gave it a chance, but he walked away from that. That at least had a cool title. Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1. I am already asleep, and it's not reviewing well. Well, it's not awful, but it's getting 44% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's open this weekend. There's a Sean Penn, Dakota Johnson film called Daddy-O. That's in limited release. It's not going to be up in Marinette. I'm not sure if it's in Green Bay or not. I think you could probably catch it in Madison or Milwaukee. So there's also The Bear dropped season 3 last night. So what are you guys going to watch? This is Thursday. I'll read them all at 8:20. It's a what to watch Thursday here at Nightlight. Let me know what you're going to watch this weekend, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and let us know. I think I am going to finally see Bad Boys. I feel like I have to see this. Maybe I'll see Quiet Place. I don't know. And I definitely started, I'm on the Bears season 2, so I have some catch-up work to do there. So that's going to be my weekend agenda.
I will also be doing that, too.
What?
The bear.
Nice. Did you see season 1?
Yeah, I saw season 1. I just haven't got to season 2 yet.
Same.
So I'm going to binge.
All right, we'll compare notes on Monday. We'll see how far we get, because that's been on my list for a long time. I just haven't. But now that season 3 is out, I got to kick it into high gear. And then Conrad's mom checks in. Conrad, I thought I taught you better.
You know, you did, but...
But Paula, I think you just on the appliances you bought when Conrad was growing up, the lint catcher was just in a much more prevalent, obvious place.
Wasn't as high tech as the
right. Oh, that's funny. He had like the zero turn lint thing happening on the new dryer. So, all right, I have to share this. This drives me crazy. Our society right now, this is a general statement, is so angry. People are just angry. I'm not saying anything new. I think tensions are high. There's an election coming up. We're very polarized. And I'd like to say it's because of that, but I don't know if it is. I don't know what has people so on edge. I think maybe it's because they don't watch enough TV. or movies, if I may, or listen to music enough. These things that make us feel beauty inside. That's a theory. I think they're looking at their phones and they're watching quick things and they're watching people post stuff that aren't using their real name and saying horrible things. But I don't know what would possess someone. I saw an elderly woman leaving a parking lot today. She should not have pulled out into the road. There was a car, there was a truck coming, a pickup truck, very loud pickup truck. And this older woman pulled out. She probably didn't see him. Maybe she shouldn't have a license. I don't know. I get it. But she did. So what's this moron's response? Gun it. He wasn't trying to hit her. He wanted to scare her. So he revved it and he gunned it and drove right at her and then slowed down at the last minute and pulled to the side. If ever there was someone in this world that needed a beating, I could not believe what I was watching. I wanted to drive after the guy and go after him. I'm like, that's someone's grandmother you just did that to. And she didn't pull out in front of you because she was being a jerk. She's either kind of clueless. Maybe she has dementia. Maybe she just didn't see you like anybody could. Or could not have. I mean, I just, what's the point of that? If you got to give a beep, give it a nice beep. Don't lay on the horn. Beep, let her know you're there and move on. When you he gunned it like he was like, I'm going to hit you. That's how mad I am at you. I mean, what if his foot slipped? What if he really hit her? You know what I mean? It's just, I don't understand why people, I don't get it. Conrad, where does the anger come from?
I don't know. It's a different age, you know?
Is it? Has it been like this your whole life? You're younger than me.
No.
You're kind of clueless about major house appliances, but,
I feel
other than that, you really got it together. So tell me, I really want to hear your opinion.
I don't know. I feel like people are more angry when they drive now. Like, I've seen some videos where it's just a normal traffic, something happens.
Yeah.
And they just get really angry, swearing, beeping on the horn. Like, it's not even that big of a deal, or, you know.
Like, it's their road. They're entitled exactly. to the road. I mean, I get this. I see this sometimes. And I live in a small town. And I, you know, we had a few years, we had an issue in our community and people didn't like what was decided and they took matters into their own hands and took them and made them disappear. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it's like, hey, move to the country. There's still some pretty open spaces where you don't have to deal with the rules you think are stupid. But when you live in a community, you live in a society, you all have rules and laws. No one's trying to keep you down. Go to the UP. The UP has tons of open space still. Wyoming, Montana, Southern Illinois. I mean, come on.
I also think it's just like social media. You know, sometimes you can see something and like, oh, is that how you're supposed to react? And then it happens to them and then they react like that.
Right.
So
social media where you don't have to use your own name. You don't have to use your own picture. Now you can like things anonymously. That just encourages weenie behavior. If I say something, my name is on all my social media. And if I say something, I'm obviously standing behind it. You're right. I think that is part of it. And it just escalates. It forces us not to have to deal with other people in a civil way. A civic way. Civic media. See what I did there, Kevin? I brought it all back. All right. I'm done. Wow, that took that whole segment. I was so mad, though. What was I supposed to do? I haven't been in a fight in years. It almost happened today. I was that mad. All right, hey, this is fun, folks. I really believe that, though. I don't think people watch enough TV. We obviously don't exercise enough. We're kind of a heavy society. But we're also angry. I think we need to listen to more music, watch more color television, and go to the movies more. It's that simple, folks. I just solved life. All right, coming up next, Greg Schwemm on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Family members tell ABC News that they've been informed that former Uvalde School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo and former officer Adrian Gonzalez have been indicted by a grand jury for the 2022 mass shooting at Robb Elementary. A fourth day of long lines for bottled water and sandbags in Las Vegas, New Mexico. Flooding overwhelmed the city's water treatment system. In line,
water, we can always go by water, which I think is not bad, but the sandbags to come across or to get sand or bags, I think it'd be harder. So I'm willing to wait the 6-8 hours, whatever it takes today.
Officials are
come to this special live coverage of the CNN presidential debate here on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh, host of the Todd Albaugh Show, kick off tonight's coverage, sharing what to expect, what's at stake, and how you can join the conversation.
Special live coverage of the CNN presidential debate starts now.
Good evening, everyone. Terry Bell along with Todd Albaugh. And as you just heard, this is Civic Media's coverage of the presidential debate presented by CNN. Over the next 30 minutes, we're going to let you know about what's being billed as the first of two presidential debates between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. That's scheduled to begin promptly at 8 o'clock Central Time. Tonight's debate is historic for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the last time two major candidates for president faced each other in consecutive elections. That hasn't happened since 1956. Republican President Dwight D. Eisenhower beat Adlai Stevenson once and then again 4 years later. This is a good time to bring in my co-anchor for the evening, Todd Albaugh, the Todd Albaugh Show, for the debate tonight, which may well be the first realization for some that this rematch, many said they did not want, that's according to polls, is exactly what we're going to get.
Good evening, Terry. Great to be with you. Great to be with all of our listeners tonight across the state of Wisconsin and around the world via the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, a good time to download it to your Apple or Android device, because you can listen to the debate live on the Civic Media app tonight. But you're absolutely right, Terry. So many voters, as you said, in polls, the Marquette Law School poll, of course, with our friend Charles Franklin, have said they don't want this rematch. But it looks as if, though, that's exactly what voters are going to get, whether they like it or not. Of course, Donald Trump about to be nominated as the Republican nominee in Milwaukee in about 3 weeks. And a month after that, Joe Biden in Chicago. And so we have to have this debate. I mean, we need to have it. We need to have voters to listen tonight. We had Trygve Olson on our program, a former presidential operative and now with the Lincoln Project. He says, according to his numbers, there's about somewhere between 4 and 8% of Wisconsin's electorate that still feel they're undecided. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but most experts are saying they expect whomever wins Wisconsin this November are going to do it by between 12 and 20,000 votes. So 4 to 6, to even 8% of the electorate could help decide who wins Wisconsin. And as they say, as goes Wisconsin, could go the rest of the presidential election.
Yeah, the margins are that small. And I think what's going to be interesting tonight, and this isn't the first time that this observation has been made, but the 48% that are undecided, this debate may not turn on, you know, who takes a better policy stand on this, according to people who are polled, but it may be what becomes the viral moment.
Correct.
On social media tomorrow, in the traditional media. That's what it could come down to, whether, you know, Trump says something that's incendiary, or whether perhaps, Joe Biden, has some sort of misstep. So that's what, for better or worse, it's going to be performance things that that may decide who the so-called winner of this debate is.
For those watching on the stream on our Facebook or YouTube channels, I'm holding up my cell phone, my iPhone, because Terry is exactly right. In 2024, we are more viral, we're more visual, and it's those clips that end up on TikTok tomorrow that could last well into the fall. And whether we think it's important or not, you're exactly right. It's those gaffes or some great moment that may make or break this presidential election.
And that's what could happen, too. And Joe Biden's been known for his zingers, his one-liners, his comebacks that have been kind of a hallmark of his past debates. So we'll see if we'll get any of those tonight. Now, another thing that's going to be different tonight, Todd, the ground rules. A lot different than what we've become accustomed to. And you've offered to walk us through what we can be listening for.
Well, you're exactly right, Terry. It is different than, I mean, I've been watching these things since the late 70s, since, Carter and Ford, and tonight's going to be unique. Number one, they're no longer going to go through the Commission on Presidential Debates. It was the networks, in this case, CNN, and if it happens later this fall, ABC, who set the ground rules. And CNN has allowed all other media, including Civic, to air this tonight. But a couple of things are different, more than a couple. Number one, no studio audience. So you're not going to hear people applauding or booing or clapping. Moderators don't have to turn around and say you're taking time away from your candidate. It's simply going to be the two candidates, Biden and Trump, the moderators, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, the camera people, and off in the wings, the handlers. But we've also learned today, Terry, that during these two breaks in the 90-minute debate, neither candidate, Trump nor Biden, will be allowed to go talk to their handlers during the break. Things that will also not be there, no props, no binders, no notes, no briefing books. The only thing the two candidates will have tonight in front of them on the podium, which are about 8 feet apart, is a pad of paper, a pen, and a glass or bottle of water.
We talk about low tech.
It is stripping away everything and give these candidates a chance to either shine or not, and people are really going to see it. Also, this is how it's going to work tonight for those watching on television, or if you're listening tonight, you're not going to see this. So let me paint the picture for you. There are about six cameras, last I saw on CNN, that will be facing towards the candidates to capture them. Each camera has a rectangular light at the top of the camera. Those lights will be yellow when the candidate has 30 seconds left in the response. The lights will change to a flashing red at 5 seconds left. And when the time is up, the lights will change to a solid red. All the cameras will have this on it so the candidates can clearly see it. Now, also important, the microphones for each candidate will be automatically turned off when the time is up and the light turns red. So no human making the decision, well, let's let them finish their sentence.
No fudge factor. Okay.
The computer, when the time is up, boom, computer shuts it off. Even if they're in the middle of a sentence. Either candidate. Now, the podiums are about 8 feet apart. I saw a demonstration last night on CNN where they kept, the other candidate kept, the other person that was playing a candidate kept talking after their time was up. You could kind of sort of hear them on the open mic, but not very well. Mm-hmm. And so the audience, the listening audience tonight on Civic, or if you're viewing it on TV, you're really not going to hear that. Also, the moderators tonight are CNN's Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. Both candidates, and this is important, Terry, both candidates and their campaigns have read all these rules, and they have agreed to all of these rules. So buyer beware. Nobody can say that they weren't aware.
Well, right. And this is why we're having this whole CNN-sponsored debate in the first place, was Trump's constant complaints from 4 years ago that the commission had rigged the debates and that they were stacked against him and made set him up to look bad. So they have agreed to everything ahead of time. There would seem to be no opportunity really to complain about what had happened ahead of time.
There is no really opportunity. However, the spin has already begun, of course, and the Trump campaign is, making this assertion, a false assertion, that somehow Joe Biden may be on, illegal drugs tonight. Of course, that's a false assertion. And also the Trump campaign saying that if he, the Trumpster, is, seen as the loser tonight, it's because he had to take on three people, Biden, Dana Bash, and Jake Tapper. Again, that's unfounded, but those are the claims that people should know are out there. For Biden's part, he's been holed up at Camp David for the better part of a week, says he's preparing, doing the traditional role playing where somebody plays Trump and they play this out. Trump has been saying that he's got this, he doesn't need to prepare. But most news media have noted he hasn't been seen a whole lot in the last 4 or 5 days. So he may be playing this out and practicing a little bit more than he'd like people to think.
It would seem to be a good idea, absolutely. I'd be interested to see, too, how the new rules will affect their performances. Trump likes to play to an audience. He won't have that. Will he calibrate his performance tonight, or will he just stick to what he does and what has worked for him in the past?
I think that's a key tonight, Terry, because many of Trump's handlers on the Republican side think that he has to come forward tonight and appear presidential, meaning that we know in 2016, part of the reason he defeated Hillary Clinton was that he was able to go beyond the MAGA, what's now known as the MAGA base, and capture some independents, maybe even some conservative Democrats. Part of the reason that Trump lost to Joe Biden in 2020 is he lost a lot of those people, particularly in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. So the key for Trump is we know there's a kind of a baked in 35%-ish, somewhere between 30 and 40% of the electorate that will, as Trump has said, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they'd still vote for him. We know that. Joe Biden has a base as well, but they each have to get beyond their base in order to capture the 270 electoral votes they need to win in November.
We are about 20 minutes away from the beginning of tonight's debate, and coming up, we'll take a look at the history of presidential debates and the core reason why this one is so unique. An essay by CBS's John Dickerson is coming up. You're listening to coverage of the presidential debate on Civic Media, presented by CNN, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue and democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Dr. Tim Slacker and Dr. John Lupinacci.
Next up, Tim and Johnny recap the week, talk about that presidential debate. Did they talk about education? Well, we're gonna.
Busted Pencils, weeknights 6 till 7.
Welcome back to Civic Media's coverage of the presidential debate presented by CNN. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. Todd Aubaugh is with me, host of the Todd Aubaugh Show. We're just about 15 minutes away now from the start of the debate between former President Donald Trump, soon to be the Republican nominee for president, presumptive, and incumbent President Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee. Todd, a lot has been made about how early this is happening. It's the end of June. It's not even July yet. At a time when people are not really paying attention to politics. No. So why are we having it so early?
Well, part of it is, as you've noted before, that the Trump campaign really wanted to get these debates out there. They were afraid that if you wait till later, that because there are many states, Wisconsin is one of them, and the early voting period is different in different states across the country. And the Trump folks really wanted those debates baked in and locked in. Now, that's very different from what candidate Trump talks about, saying wait till election day. We don't believe in early voting. It's rigged. Again, that's a lie, but that's the things he says on the stump. However, if you look at, for instance, somebody that I've known well in the past, Brian Schimming, the current Republican chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, they have an actual program and that's been put in place to bank the vote, as they call it. So Republicans, and again, remember that the first time Trump ran in 2016, he had kind of a cast of misfit toys for his campaign people. It was kind of a fluke, to be quite honest. In 2020, he kind of surrounded himself with a mixture. In 2024, the people that he has running his campaign are seasoned veterans. You might not like them, you might not agree with them, but Chris LaCivita, who runs Trump World, ran Ron Johnson's campaign here against Mandela Barnes. He knows how to win elections. He knows how to win elections in Wisconsin, in the Midwest. And so there is a very, although the Trump chaos may be on the outside, behind it is a very sophisticated and well-oiled machine. For the Biden side, you know, they've been proponents of early voting for a long time. And I think the thought there was, look, we'll take him on anytime, anywhere. Joe Biden's not going to be afraid of it. If he wants to debate, you know, in June, so be it.
And I've heard being opposed to early voting, at least if you're a political operative, is a bit like waking up on election day and being several million votes behind and having to make it up in those, you know, 24 or how many hours that you have.
Right, no, absolutely. And from a campaign side, the earlier that you can get people to vote and have them in the can, the less you have to worry about GOTV, get out the vote, on election day. But, you know, Terry, some of our civic media stations are CBS Radio News affiliates, and I'm sure many of our listeners have heard of CBS's John Dickerson, the longtime television anchor and journalist. This past weekend on CBS Sunday Morning, he offered an historical look at presidential debates and raised a question I know we've discussed here at Civic Media, and I think a lot of listeners have on their minds. So here now is a look at these debates that come around every 4 years from John Dickerson.
Presidential campaigns are sometimes compared to a job interview. Voters are the hiring committee. Debates, the in-person office visit. But we already know Joe Biden and Donald Trump. To learn whether they will protect the Constitution, how they manage a crisis, or whether they have the character and temperament, we can look to their records in the office of the job that they want. So what is the point of this debate? First, debates showcase the job seekers' performance skills, presidential bearing, warmth, and command. Even though we've seen these two perform a lot, it's a chance for candidates to reverse the stylistic misimpressions among voters who haven't paid much attention. Plus, the context changes in a presidency. Ronald Reagan was a well-known incumbent in 1984, but at 73 years old, he was asked about his age, a concern voters tell pollsters they have about the 81-year-old Joe Biden.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
The canned one-liner showed Reagan could navigate the shifting public sentiment he faced in office. On substance, this debate can illuminate not just what these candidates believe, but what's at the core of those beliefs. Circumstances will change when they're in office. What hard wiring will guide them? What values will guide them as they use the power that they've been given? Will any? Every candidate's nightmare, the gaffe that becomes the story, like Ford's claim in 1976.
There is no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe, and there never will be under a Ford administration.
The Soviets did dominate Eastern Europe.
I don't believe that the Poles...
Ford seemed out of it and repeated himself, insisting on something that was not so.
They rigged the presidential election of 2020.
Donald Trump also insists on something that is not so, that he won the 2020 election, which he lost. Not a gaffe, but a lie. Top Republicans in the House and Senate said that lie led to a violent attempt to block the will of the people. Trump still tells this lie. Can you have a debate built on reason to measure reason when a candidate insists on something beyond reason? The analogy collapses. Not an interview anymore, but a hostile takeover where the majority of the hiring committee is pushed out of the room.
CBS's John Dickerson. And Terry Bell, it raises the important and essential question, I think, of how we as media organizations cover not just these debates like the one tonight, but how we cover both upcoming conventions in terms of bringing our listener the facts.
Yeah, and that's what conversations that we're having frequently here at Civic Media. We are going to be at both national conventions, the one in Milwaukee and the one in Chicago. And we are discussing all the time. You know, how do we cover this? It's going to be very unconventional because we can't always know what we are fed from the, you know, parties will be as factual as it needs to be to help people make a good informed choice. So we're going to have to be doing a lot more filtering than perhaps media organizations have had to in the past.
And to John Dickerson's point, and what I thought was a great piece, we're in a different realm now of two parties saying, well, this trickle-down economics works and no, trickle-down economics doesn't work. We're beyond that to, you know, I equate this to if someone has a dead body in front of you and you say, this is a dead body, the person says, no, it's not. And then you take it to the coroner. They say, this is a dead body. The other person says, not. And then you take it to the funeral home and they do the embalming and you say, this is a dead body. The other person says, no, it's not. At what point can you have a rational conversation if one side simply doesn't look at the facts? So I think tonight, as Dana Bash and Jake Tapper hold both candidates' feet to the fire, it's not partisan when you call out the truth.
Then that's what we're trying to get at. Just what are the facts? What is the truth? What can the candidates take a look at? These are the problems. You can only come up with some honest solutions if you take a look at the problems, honestly. And we'll see how good of a job they do of that tonight. We're about 10 minutes away from the start of tonight's debate in Atlanta. Coming up, what the stakes are and what does each candidate need to do in order to be viewed the winner. You're listening to coverage of the presidential debates presented by CNN on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look back at the presidential debate. Also, bring you an update on EVs, what it means for Pete Buttigieg, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Civic Media's coverage of the presidential debate presented by CNN. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. I'm joined by Civic Media's Todd Albaugh. And we're just 8 minutes or so away from the start of the presidential debate between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. Todd, you spent a long time, about 30 years in Republican politics, local level, state level, federal level. What do the candidates, what's going on? You've been involved in debate prep and that sort of thing. So what's going on tonight and what does each campaign, how are they coaching their guy and what do they hope will happen tonight?
Well, I smartened up in 2011 and I left the Republican Party, but that's another story, another cup of coffee, another bottle of wine. But you're absolutely right, Terry. These are, for those of us who are political junkies, take away all the kind of highfalutin stuff. It's just fun to watch two people go at it in a presidential debate because it's like working without a net. Live television, no notes in front of you. You can't talk to your handlers during the election or during the campaign or the debate tonight. It's just two people mano a mano. I think on the Trump side tonight, for the Republicans, they're just hoping that Donald Trump can seem presidential. As I said, a lot of Republicans don't want him to talk about the 2020 election. If he keeps going back to the big lie, we know the presidential election in 2020 was free, fair. Paul Ryan said it, the former Speaker of the House from Wisconsin. Donald Trump lost. Joe Biden won. Republicans want Trump to get beyond that. Talk about what he would do in a second term. We'll see if Trump can hold to that and just be presidential.
That seems like it would be a tough task because Donald Trump is wont to, you know, shoot from the hip, and he has been told many times in the past to keep it down the middle and to be presidential, and he has resisted that many times when he's advised to do that.
If he were able to completely stay away from these off the cuff kind of radicalized moments, it would be both a surprise and unexpected. But look, we'll see. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt until after on the post game show. We'll find out whether he does or not. But that's what Republican handlers want Trump to do, to just be presidential, stick to the facts, stick to the policy stuff, and not continue to interrupt or try to interrupt Joe Biden. And remember, as we said before, Republicans, Trump in particular, can't win with just the mega base. He has to appeal. We've seen him, as bizarre as it may seem to some, reach out to the Black African American community and the Latino community. Does he try to do that tonight to expand his base to win?
Well, there may be some openings there. Support for President Biden among those groups is slipping. Republican operatives see an opening there. Culturally, I think a lot of people of color, like you just mentioned, identify with a lot of conservative positions, especially socially. So maybe it's not such a crazy idea.
You're very right. That's the argument the Republicans are trying to make, that socially, whether it comes to abortion, things like that, a lot of Latinos are immigrants who are now voters, American citizens that come from perhaps Catholic backgrounds who are on the pro-life side. Does that outweigh his derogatory and racist comments towards immigrants and towards Latinos in particular? We'll find out. For the Democratic side, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
For the Democratic side, for Joe Biden, I would say, as a former Republican and now an independent, I would say that it's even a tougher task for Joe Biden to win tonight because he has a bigger job. A, he has a base that is somewhat fractured. He needs all of his base to win. And the more liberal and progressive side of his base are very concerned about what's happening in Gaza. Some people don't feel he's done enough on things like climate change and green policy. They want him to do more. And can he recapture those people and excite them? Some people want to vote for a third party. Remember, a third party vote is essentially a vote for Trump. So Biden needs to bring them back in. He needs to be seen as someone who's with it, as he was in the State of the Union address earlier this year. He can't have a quote-unquote senior moment. Remember, Joe Biden has a stutter, and he tries very hard. And sometimes when he tries to stop his stutter, it appears like he has forgotten something. How will that be perceived? And finally, there are people in the Democratic Party that want Uncle Joe tonight. They want him to take off the gloves and be tough on Donald Trump. Enough of this playing nice. They love Michelle Obama, but they're tired of when they go low, we go high. They want Joe to go low tonight and strike Donald Trump and show some speed.
I've seen some commentary that suggests that perhaps that's the Joe Biden we will see tonight. What he has to do, I think the big problem, you alluded to it, is the enthusiasm gap on the Democratic base, among the Democratic base. So I think what a lot of people who may be on the fence about what they might do on the left, they want to see Joe Biden come out and fight and be aggressive and be someone they can be excited to vote for.
I agree with that. It's not so much on the Democratic side for Biden, whether his supporters erode and vote for Trump. It's that, do they just stay home?
Yes.
Or do they vote for third party? Right. Which helps Donald Trump.
Right.
Get elected once again. So there's a lot at stake tonight. And again, I know a lot of people say, how could this be? It's baked in already on both sides. That's not the case. There's about 6 to 8% of Wisconsinites who are truly still undecided. And it may be those people who decide Wisconsin and thus decide the presidential election.
And that's why this is so important tonight, because there are so few people who need to be persuaded. Right. So the messaging has to be really rapier sharp, I would have to say, in order to be effective.
And also, there's a little bit of fun to this as well. I know Jay Matt and Aaron on air this morning on the Precedes Our Show every day from 10 until noon. She and Greg Bach were talking about there are people there. I believe Chris Casper in our mission control room tonight. There's a bingo card for things like how many times did Joe Biden say, come on, man, or malarkey, or how many times did Donald Trump talk about the 2020 election being rigged? I mean, people are going to have some fun tonight on this as well. Matt Flynn has said in our show, part of this is entertainment, and it is.
Yes, and absolutely. And I think that's kind of what our politics has become these days is people rooting for their, it's like they're rooting for their favorite football team.
Right. That's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's the Packers versus the Vikings, Wisconsin versus Iowa. You know, it's there's some cheering for sure that's going to go on tonight.
Yeah, we're getting very, very close here to the beginning of the debate, and we'll bring that to you as soon as that starts, and that will be probably in the next few seconds or so. So, Todd, any thoughts before the broadcast begins?
Well, another quick little factoid here. We were talking earlier the last time two people faced each other consecutively. It was back with Dwight D. Eisenhower. You go back to John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson facing off back in 1824 as well, when Adams prevailed. And the second time was in 1828 when Jackson became president by beating the incumbent Adams. So this does not happen often, but it has happened in the past.
No, and the first time it's happened when we have television.
Right.
So that's the important thing. This moment like this has never been broadcast to millions, if not billions, of people.
And we have the feed up now at CNN down at the studios. It's a television studio now. Remember,
yes.
It's a television studio.